Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen with the American Martial Arts Alliance, and I am on a special call today. We are having interviews with our alumni. It's been a great year. We've had a great opportunity to meet martial artists from all across the country, and everyone has these different skill sets. And one of the things that we're really trying to promote is a change. And this is what this call is about, is introducing you to a concept of talking about the inner part. As martial artists, we're always talking about the technique, the kata, the weapons forms, the fighting, but hardly ever we hear anyone go directly and talk about their inner you, the you. How do you work? You know, what is your power? If you can understand the power of you, then you can make some major changes in your life. And once you understand this power, you can now begin to teach others. And this is where we have to work, because in our society, we listen to the news and all the crazy mess that's going on, and we get consumed in all of this different stuff. So we want to redirect you, because you can only make changes in you. And this is where everything has to start. And today we have on the call, we have Dr. Paul Dyer, and he's going to be on the call with us today. And he has a huge background of knowledge. I'm a life success coach. I'm a mental performance coach. There's a lot of things that I do. So we've decided to join together today for a call. We generally, in the past few weeks, have been talking, and we get on the telephone, and we just go to talk. So we decided to share the information and not just keep it to ourselves, but to reach out and give this information to anyone, to our martial arts friends, to anyone, to moms, to parents, to kids, to teachers. It doesn't matter. We just want to trigger you to begin to thinking about you. Dr. Dyer, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on, Jesse. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
Can you hear me?
We've been having
Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir, I can.
Good.
I can hear
good.
You. Yeah, we've been having a lot of great conversations, and I wanted to reach out and share, you know, with the world about our conversations, because where we come from is not just martial arts, because we have continued our study beyond just learning the technique, beyond just learning the form or the application, because, you know, I know that you have a doctorate degree. You know, I have certifications in hypnosis, sports psychology, and all of these different things. And we're talking about how do we make changes in individuals that we can move beyond, rather than that one or two, moving towards success. How can we share information? And if people are ready, they're now able to use this information. So let's start with you. Let's talk about you a little bit. Let's talk about your background. Everyone, he's in the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. Our 2017 issue of the book has a great story. I think he's got about 3 pages in the book, so, you know, really inspiring. So, sir, let's talk about you. Number one, I guess, let's talk about martial arts first, then let's move on into your specialty and the other knowledge you have. Let's talk about martial arts first.
Martial arts for me, you know, I started as a Bronx kid out of New York City, and my mother was a martial artist in mind and in heart. She fell in love with Bruce Lee like everyone else, and my father was a martial artist who had learned from the inner streets of Chicago. So we had started learning from the days my father was a Black Panther. So he had learned from the schools of the John Keenan schools of martial arts back then, and who was the only one who actually taught blacks out of Chicago was John Keenan. And he was the head of the Karate Association in the 60s. And then joined the military. And then so martial arts has been a part of my life and in the dojo since I was 5 years old. Started out with Masayama and Shotokan, and Ishiru, and then fall in love with Kenpo. Kenpo has been my love trade for a long time, and then, of course, after studying Kenpo, and then I'm a big historian, so going back through the Kenpo and understanding its five animals and tracing its roots back into Shanfa, and then just the temple itself, and then working through the Shaolin boxing, and then Xingyi, which is I'm a big passion of, Bagua, a lot of the internal arts of the Qigong, medical Qigong, hard Qigong I practice, and then going into studying out of Japan too in the Budo College of traditional karate, Japanese karate from JKA Association. And of course, and then I was in the military, so traveling around, being able to work with a lot of people in the 80s as you travel, being in Hawaii or even in the States, you really get a flavor of it in my Kaji Kenpo background too, of being in Hawaii, because that's, they're big on that. And then jujitsu, studied under small circle jujitsu on the Wally J, and then studied traditional jujitsu in out of Japan, and working with Irving Soto, Grandmaster Irving Soto, Aiki Jujitsu. And so big family, brotherhood, training has been a big part of my life, and it has directed me away from not so much understanding the physical body, but directed me into the person I am today. And that's why one of my teachers who passed away a couple years ago, Grandmaster Day, says pain is not just a good teacher, it's a reminder that we need to learn more. So every time he would inflict pain on me, it's something that you need to understand why the pain persists, not so much just in your physical body, but how it touches your emotional being too.
Well, I know, you know, even for myself, I've been in the martial arts now for, you know, over 40 plus years. There's so much that I've learned, and I don't know where my life would be right now if I had not, I guess you would use pain, which created me to come into the martial arts, and because I didn't want to get beat up by the guy on my job, and Enter the Dragon that just came out, and I saw what Bruce Lee did to all those guys. And this guy was a black belt on my job, and I just visualized him doing all these horrible things to me. And I got on the telephone, and I called every martial arts school in the city, and Karate International was the only school that answered the telephone. My life would be totally different if another school had answered, but fortunately, you know, God directed me to the right place. But you just said something that's very important, which leads into the part that we're talking about today, which is the power of you, because pain does create change. You got pleasure creates change, you have pain. And when someone reaches that point, you know, if I hadn't seen the Bruce Lee movie, then I wouldn't have been intimidated by the black belt, since I didn't know what a black belt was or anything about a black belt. And if I hadn't seen the movie, then I probably wouldn't have never joined the martial arts. But that image of the pain that Bruce Lee was inflicting on all these guys, I didn't want that. I was a weenie child. So I didn't want that happening to me.
And here's where pain, most people, I think, stop at, we know where pain can take us to, but we don't understand where pain comes from. And I think this is where, when we look at the education process for the history of martial arts, it was very few written words. It was always from mouth to ear, okay? It was from brotherhood to brotherhood, or father to son, father village to the children of the village, or from mothers to daughters. Okay, so what is it, a part of the martial arts that we kept? We kept the word family, dojo, meaning house, sifu, or dojang. Depending on where you come from, it still means family and house. So that loving house is the contributing factor when we say kiyoshi. It means develop, or senior brother, or older person that's ahead of our household. We look to that not just for guidance or principle, but for love and enrichment. That's something you can never take out of martial arts, is the love and enrichment. Now, that's where fear coming from fear, we also know that fear has an emotional attachment to our being of life. Now, if you take it from historically from someone who's just want to hunt and gather for their family, is it fear of starvation or is it fear of protecting the people that they love? It's never starvation. It's actually the loved ones that they have, love of self and love of family. So if we can understand our emotional attachments to the fear we have developed, i.e. your job, I don't want to get beat up. Why? Because maybe I want to keep my job so I can enrich my life to further do other things. So there are other ways to, what you call, go backwards from your information, even from your emotional information you got there. I'm afraid of something. Where does that fear come from and why am I feeling that? That's something martial arts teaches always, and it's always in the undersurface, and I hope and wish more schools do it. And I know we know our education schools don't do it enough. And I actually believe that martial arts schools are the only schools that actually connects the emotional attachment to the physical attachment to education.
Well, and this is the reason why it's so important when we think about empowering someone. Now, the power of you, it starts with your own mind. Now, I know that you've done extensive studies, doctorates in educational. So let's talk about, you know, let's talk about your background, your schooling, the things that, you know, make you knowledgeable and an expert in these areas, because this is what we want to really get across in this next, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, is that everything starts within your own mind. And the time to make a change is now. And by starting today, by understanding that, and by using some principles and techniques we'll leave you with today, you can now move forward, because your mindset and your emotions, this is how you control your state of mind. So let's talk about your background in some of the things that you actually do.
Okay, so one, I started out with health science. Well, started out with just schooling for undergrads, and I'm a big biology, I'm a science geek, so biology and physics, and I have undergrads in biology, social work, and music, and social sciences. So from there, I ended up going to my master's and went to George Washington and did nutrition and kinesiology, and that's the study of movement, of kinesiology. And then being big into nutrition, understanding not just the dynamics of nutrition, but how the food absorbs into the body. And that goes in through the bloodstream, organs, and tissues. So still, mind you, all this, I'm still coming from a martial arts view of still looking at things. So then working with athletes as an exercise science, and being a trainer for different athletes across the country, from pros to little kids, I understand body functions and movement. Then that led me into the health sciences PhD, and then led me into the metaphysics education PhD, and then led me into oriental medicine, which is really the whole part of understanding the body from the whole, and not just from a minimal. And I think my constant study and my thesis were always on the brain. I was always fascinated between the brain and the heart, and that led me into continuous studies I even do today, studying the brain and body connection. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we're focusing on, that we're releasing this weekend, the Zen Mind Body Mindfulness Meditation Program for martial artists, because we're really trying to reach out to martial arts schools, and that's one of the places. This program is not primarily martial arts based. It just happened to be the name. The program was really developed for Duke University under physical education, where I taught there for 27 years, and the program there is called Zen Mind Body Mindfulness Training, and we've changed it and done a rewrite on the program. so that we can reach out to martial arts schools. And this is sometimes this is the missing link. Students, they need to know. They need to know how to defend themselves, but it shouldn't be the primary and only thing. We should be teaching our students about how to go on the inside and how they work. In other words, how does my mind work? What are the basic things that I use every day, you know, in meditation? Because we actually do meditation and go through meditation every day of our lives. We were born meditating. Anytime that you close your eyes and begin to lower your brain frequency, you now go into a meditative state. And this is the that's the reason why it becomes the simplest thing. We do it, but we just don't know how to use it. Because a lot of the inner stuff that we have going on in our lives is connected very deeply, and that's the reason why hypnotherapy and things like that are very popular for making change, stop smoking, overeating. But these things are it's good for programming. So when we reach this level of beta, and we start to go down into alpha and a different brain frequency. And what we're talking about is that your heart beats so many times per minute as your brain vibrates so many times per second. So the stronger you go in your thoughts and more things are going on, the higher your vibration is. So therefore, you cannot process the monkey mind with all these things happening. And this is sort of what's happening. So in being able to teach meditation, you learn now for kids that are on that are ADHD, and really what they're trying to do is slow down, and medication is only what is one of the things that's most popular to get kids to slow down and then have a label and then have an addiction. But if we teach them about how to be able to use meditation and that it's good for them, they will enjoy that because it's the most natural thing that they do, but not understanding. So all our changes begin to be on the inside. If we play a thought over in our mind over and over and over, we're actually in a meditative state of focusing on that. And this is where we kick in the law of attraction. Law of attraction says whatever you think about most is what you begin draw to you, regardless to whatever that you're doing. So, you know, so this is the way that we really want to reach out and start giving a new habit, giving something that you already have, but you didn't receive a manual to learn how to use
to
it.
Do
so
it.
Therefore, right. So that's sort of really one of the things that we're wanting to do is to reach out and create a culture change. And the martial arts is one of the best place to be able to do that. Now, many schools do meditation. But what we're really talking about is learning dynamic meditation, mindfulness first, then dynamic meditation, because this is where we really learn how to use a vision board. We learn how to change our views of poverty, of lack of finances. Anything can be changed if we're willing to, or have we reached that pain spot? Because if I didn't reach that pain spot, then I would have probably never enrolled in the martial arts. But, you know, you have to ask you, the power of you, are you satisfied with where you are? Or maybe you're you and I. Maybe you want to tell others, but you don't know how to tell them. And this is sort of what that the program is about, because it's a certification program.
Jesse, now one of the things, that before we get too far, is that when – we know when we teach meditation, I still, when I'm going to teach other teachers to be better teachers, and that's probably what I'm hyper-focused on, is because I think it's easier to reach. I think there's some tremendous people out there who already devote their lives to helping others. So when I had two things. I had a teacher who said they taught meditation. And so I asked them, I said, well, what do you start with? They said, well, I start with creating their eyes closed. And I said, well, what age group? And they said, well, I have adults and I have kids. And I said, well, you have to differentiate between how you teach kids and how you teach adults. But primarily, you still have to get them to understand what it is that they are doing. And I say, you got to create the sensation of self before you get into the action of it. You develop the sensation of the self. Can you hear yourself breathe? Can you feel your fingers? So develop what you call that body sensation, which is still very difficult for people because they've never really touched their skin themselves in a quiet place. They've never really heard their own heartbeat. So I've developed a couple of ways. I get earmuffs or hunting ear protection so people can actually hear their own breath. So this way they can hear the stagnation of it or the ripple or the thump, and it's not even flow. Now adults, they have so many more things going on in their minds, whether it be work, children, loved ones. They don't hear themselves breathe at all. They may close their eyes, but they're not hearing themselves breathe because they've never heard themselves speak to themselves. So again, that self-sensory perception of your body and what it's doing to you. I think that gets so missed or rushed over so quickly that the other part of someone guiding you is a great aspect to meditation, but others need to learn how to develop this in their own quiet space. Now, the other thing is that once you get into that quiet space, we go back to that, where is this emotion coming up? Because it comes up. You start kicking up past emotions, and that needs to be addressed. Not just needs to be ignored, it needs to be addressed whether I'm feeling scared. Any word you can develop that you write down, I think is a helpful way to you understand. Just write down the emotion and the feeling. Don't write down what you think it is and why it is, because that will come later. So once you start to develop that emotional connection to your body's sense of breath, then you're able to clear that breath with clearance of emotional attachment. And of course, through Chinese medicine, your attachment is actually attachment to different organs. Like we know, if you are angry alcoholic, it comes from the liver, and you have different emotions that come from the heart and spleen and gallbladder and different things like that. That's just been scientifically proven. Now, I think science has caught up to martial arts. It's funny that you see that now they're doing studies on, like you said, the waves and vibration, because that's really what we're creating, is that new vibrational waves in our cellular self, because all cells vibrate. They don't touch. They vibrate, and they harmonize. And when they start harmonizing, the whole body feels healthy. And when a cell or part of the body is not vibrating well, it starts to get sick. Because we know that we have oxygen, hydrogen, and what's the other thing I'm thinking of that comes out of your body? I'm drawing a blank. That we get from trees when we breathe in and breathe out. Carbon dioxide, okay? So we know that 65% of our body is made up of oxygen, and then we have carbon dioxide, like 15%. And so if you don't have that clean exchange, it starts adjusting your pH balance in your body, which adjusts your absorption in your body for nutrients. And so everything starts to trigger from there. Now, teachers, I work with a teacher friend of mine, and she was having trouble in her what you call adverse class, a lot of high activity kids. And I said, every time you go there, you're a beautiful teacher, I'm sure, but are you coming there with your heart vibration pumping positive? And I'm not talking about trying to think positive, just think positive. I'm talking about actually breathe positive, because those kids are starving for a vibrational hug, I always say. And they're picking up on your bad trip in from work or your disagreement you had with your contractor. You're going to carry that with you to that classroom, and those kids are emotionally hungry. They're going to pick up those vibrations, and it's going to trigger an adverse reaction.
Well, and that's exactly right. So as a teacher, as a presenter, first impression is what people get from us. And that impression is that vibrational energy when we walk in, we automatically begin to create an impression. A feeling is transferred to that other person, and from that, the person makes an assumption about the person that they're meeting. Could be true, may not be true, but that's just because of the way that they're making them feel. So as we get ready to, you know, end our call today, again, we just wanted to reach out and introduce Paul to everyone, talk about the who's who, let everyone know it's a powerful program, the Zen Mind Body, for learning how to begin to learn of yourself, how to be empowering you, because we start off with the simplest part, and that is mindfulness, learning how to find and discover your true self, your inner and outer self. And then as we begin to move forward, you begin to notice these changes, you know, through the use of meditation, because you learn, and as Paul was saying a few moments ago, a lot of the problems are locked deep inside of you that for years you have suppressed and stuck way down in the bottom, but they're still having an effect on you, and you haven't learned how to forgive. In order for you to move on from bad situations, you have to find out, how do I forgive this situation? Someone may love being angry about something that happened to them in their lives. They may be angry with their parents or something that could have been a trauma that happened to them, and they're angry about it. And, you know, they use that anger, and they keep it long enough, and they feed it long enough, it's a part of them. Then you have the hatred. Kids are coming up. They don't like their home lives. Parents disrespect the kids. Kids disrespect the parents. And, you know, when people grow up, and I was watching a show this past week, and, you know, this person had reached a success point and was throwing all of it away, and the first thing she started to talk about was the way her mother treated her and how angry she was still about her mother. So she's still doing sabotage of her own personal life because she has not forgiven the past. And now that anger, she's transferring it to her kids, and now her kids, they're starting to receive and duplicate the same lesson that the mom has, because she's still angry with the grandmother, mom, or whoever. You have to learn to release. You have to learn to forgive. You have to learn to forgive if you lose your job and you're angry about it. You have to forgive that. If your boyfriend, husband, or someone leaves you, you have to forgive that and move on, because that is an energy, and the more thought that you put into it, you know, let's just move beyond what happens to us in the physical world. We begin to think about what happens in the mental state, but also what happens to our body. You know, and this is where, and this year now can breed for disease. It can breed a lot of different things just because we are holding it and we give it enough energy. You give success of things you want to be, do, and achieve, you give it enough energy, and that's exactly what you'll have. If you give bad thoughts enough energy, that's exactly what you will have. So you have to begin to focus on what is it that you want out of your life. You say, well, I'm not able to change the world. You don't have to change the world. You change one person at a time. If you can become into reality that the way that you're living or what's going on is not what you want, that is the first step. And then you find a coach. And if you don't know how to make change, you don't have that experience, you find a coach, you find someone that has a, you know, I have a business coach, you know, to help me with my business. I know everything about the business. But he is more of my motivator that keeps me on track in everything that I do. So, you know, I think that's what really we need to reach out and do. And, Paul, this has been really great. I said, we generally spend an hour on the phone going back and forth, sharing these conversations. So, you know, I always enjoy talking with you. So today we've actually extended out our conversations that we're having, and we're extended out to the universe on our radio show. We are hoping that it doesn't stop with you. If you've listened to our call today and you have a question, you can always give us a call. Paul, is there a number that people can reach you or an email?
Yeah, there you can reach me at 701-388-1899 or contact me at Dakota Dragon Defense, all one word, at gmail.com. Or you can reach me through the website at DakotaDragonDefense.com. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can always reach me. Of course, I'm Jesse Bowen, and I'm the director of the American Martial Arts Alliance Business and Management Center. And you can, of course, you know, don't forget Who's Who in the Martial Arts. We have a trilogy. We have three books on the Who's Who in the Martial Arts series. And, you know, this past year we had over 800 people to be nominated, and we only selected about 250 people to go into the book. We are going to be doing the 2018 book. It's going to be launched in Washington, D.C. Again this year, and that's going to be on August the 3rd. And you can go to our website. Our website is Who's Who in the Martial Arts, .com is the website, and you can go ahead and start doing your nominations for 2018. So remember, we want to leave you with, you know, with this part. The power of you starts today. If you can, if you're feeling like you are, if you're on top of the world and everything is perfect, then that's great. If you feel like you're in the bottom of the pit and you don't have any place to go, then this information is for you. You can start right now with pen and paper and write down on the paper, I forgive my past as I'm moving to my future. Go ahead, Paul.
And I'm going to second that. One of the biggest things, if we can do with all the craziness that's going on with our civilization right now in the United States or globally, it's ultimately forgiveness. And I'm not talking just sort of forgiveness. I'm talking complete forgiveness. There is no, I can forgive this, but I'm able to forgive that. That's too horrendous. Complete forgiveness clears the pathway to your freedom. Complete forgiveness. And I want people to write that. Complete forgiveness. Not sort of and kind of, and I'm not sure about that one that's so traumatic. Complete forgiveness.
Well, that's the way you start. And everyone, you can go to my website, a new product, check it out. You can actually sign up in about a couple of weeks. I'm going to be doing a free online class. You can actually get the ebook right now. You can go to zenmind-body.com and sign up for a free report. And also you can take and sign up to actually take a free 30-day mindfulness meditation class, you know, with me. So you can, you know, just go to the website. Also, remember, you got Who's Who in the Martial Arts.com, and you also have zenmind-body.com. This weekend, we're going to be in Houston, Texas, with Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum launching, and it's going to be a real big blast. I mean, legends of legends of legends of legends in the martial arts will be there. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. Paul, thank you again for, you know, sharing some time with me. And everyone, we hope that this has been a benefit for you. Again, if you have any questions, you can reach me at 919-489-6100, or you can email me at AMAAWHOS, which is WHS, who, at gmail.com. That's AMAA, who's who in the Martial Arts at gmail.com. Hey, this is Jesse Bowen. Be blessed, and we will see you in the future.
Yep, good night. And I say we can all do this together. We have to be we. We just got to learn about the practice and do it. Thanks, Jesse.